when I see families or individuals come in, I see that they have life insurance or a death benefit. I immediately know that they love someone more than they love themselves. It's selfless, because why pay $800, $1,000, $2,000, whatever, $7,000 a year? It just depends on the scenario and the family and the age and health. Why pay that kind of money if you're shelling out $1,000 a year for $800 or $1 million or $2 million or whatever, pick a number, $2 million death benefit? Why would someone do that? They're dead. If it pays out, it's because they care about their family. And so what I always joke about with a well-designed whole life insurance policy, and it really is, it's all about, well, there's a lot of things go into it, but design's so important, is that you have the ability, and this is where the topic came from, is that you have the ability to be incredibly selfless by creating a very powerful death benefit to protect your family, people you love and care for.
You're listening to the Engineer of Finance podcast with Ken Green.
Hi, this is Ken Green, the host of the Engineer of Finance podcast. And no monologue today, because I have my awesome co-host, Tammy B., here with me for this episode.
Hey, Ken. How are you?
I am great. And I've changed my mind. I assess things and change it. And I just don't like saying your full last name. It's too hard. Probably because my ability to enunciate sometimes.
I'd say stick
Tammy
with it.
B. So, yeah. So Tammy Brand goes back to Tammy B.
Awesome. Oh. I like it better anyway. I've told you that, you know, my parents, my official name is Tamara. And at an early...
No, I've never told any of the listeners. I held that thread out and you said, fine, you can tell them. Let everyone know what's your official name.
So my full name is Tamara, which, oh my gosh, talk about a mouthful. But yeah, like in fifth grade, it just shows you how stubborn and independent I am. I was a bane to my poor parents. I was like, I'm not going to go by that name anymore. It is now going to be Tammy. And good for them. They allowed me to do that. I didn't change it officially. It's still officially Tamara. But yeah, I from fifth grade on, I went by Tammy.
So does anyone in your family or friends or is it always Tammy now? Even with mom and dad?
It's always Tammy. Yes, including my dad and my some people even call me Tam because that's how I sign off on my emails. I just want to be fast. And so instead of saying Tammy, I just say Tam. Plus I just want people to feel, you know, comfortable and
I used to always have friendly. Fun. This truly is gonna be Smorgasbord 3. I had a few things I wanted to discuss, but this is funny on the name thing, just in the fact that I always thought like when I hit 18, my mom wouldn't tell me what to do anymore. And, you know, I'm out, I'm on my own. And then, going to college. And then at 21, I was like, for sure, she's not going to tell me what to do anymore. I was like, oh, 25. I mean, come on. All right. And that would no longer be told what to do anymore. It's like, no, I realized that you're always a child in your parents' eyes for the rest of your life. Right. And so, and so on resumes and whatever, I always have my official name, Kenneth Green. And, you know, that's how it was with my PE licenses and all my other licenses in this industry, in the financial industry. And, but when I was a kid, and my mom still does it today, it drives me nuts. And so, so she doesn't get mad. I say this on the podcast, but she always calls me Kenny, right? Mm-hmm. And so like all my life as a kid, I was Kenny. And then now that I'm an adult, I've been an adult for a while, it's Ken typically. But yeah, it's like when my mom's has something to, I mean, she's very good at accounting and books. I mean, she's brilliant. I mean, that's what she got her master's in. And so she understands it really well, right? Mm-hmm. And so I always will lean on her because she's really sharp at that stuff and helps me really relate to my CPA clients, because CPA is definitely very similar to thinking in many ways to engineers, but it's a very unique skill set being an accountant.
Yeah, absolutely.
And unique skill set being an engineer and what I watch nurses and doctors and nurse practitioners do. I mean, they all have their unique skill sets, and it's amazing. My tolerance for seeing seeing stitches or surgery or these epidural, all that stuff, I can't handle it. Mm-hmm. And they're like, yeah, it's just like working on a car, right? It's like mechanical engineering to them.
Yeah.
And, but anyway, I always thought that, yeah, I'd be treated like an adult, right? Once I get older, but moms never do that with their boys. That's what I've experienced. So anyway. Yeah. That's like a fun 10-minute rant about names. you're Tammy B. And also, I think, I don't know if I've said on the, you know, I was younger, everyone's, oh, it's Kenny G. It's Kenny G. It's like, what a great musician, I guess. Right. So, but I always smiled. I thought it was great. You know, it's like, hey, it's nice. And then someone, I don't know, some pro a long time ago, golf pro was named Ken Green. People come in and congratulate me. You know, like in school, I was really young, I think middle school or high school or whatever, elementary school. Hey, congratulations, man. I won whatever big golf championship. Like I follow golf, but I was like, hey, thanks, man. Thank you. So it's nice. Nice getting credit for someone else's achievements.
Absolutely. So,
so today's episode, this will be the topic, and actually came to me. I was talking to my wife prior to starting this, this episode. I was just touched base, say hi real quick. And just tell her, it's like, hey, I just had a great day today. I'm just working with this great new family. And do I love working with the right people. Mm-hmm. I'm like the perfect, everyone has their ideal clients. And so, boy, is it just fun and effortless and a joy teaching people the way I like, which pretty much everything I teach is contrarian to the majority of the financial industry. Mm-hmm. And it's a good approach because when less than 1% have enough money for retirement, yet the industry's done incredibly well. I think it probably is to teach exact opposite of what the financial industry is teaching.
Right.
Probably in the client's best interest. And so today's topic is a variety. It is, I should say, smorgasbord number three. Mm-hmm. But there's a variety of a few things. The topic is selfless can be selfish.
Oh.
Right.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's good thing. You can kind of, maybe it's a better way to describe the topic, but quite often when I'm one-on-one working with clients, I was like, hey, you have the ability to be incredibly selfless. And in the very nature of being selfless, it's in a good thing, it's selfish too. Mm-hmm. And so and I'll explain the rationale behind all that. And, a great friend and client told me a year or so ago about, I've never read the book. I'd like to find what the reference is, but it's essentially talking about, and at first it kind of, you step back a little bit, but being how everyone should be selfish. I'm like, well, that doesn't sound so nice.
Right.
But when you hear the rationale, the logic, and this is just kind of a cursory, this is my, I'm probably misinterpreting a few things, but I got to go read the book. Once I find out what the title is, I'll share it with everyone on a future episode. But if everyone was selfless and knew they couldn't rely upon others to take care of them,
mm-hmm.
imagine how much more financial freedom and empowerment and the strength of this country.
Absolutely.
Right?
Huge.
So if we knew that we weren't, if like, hey, that's okay, I can be reckless with my money because mommy and daddy will take care of me for all my life.
Mm-hmm. Or government.
And if mommy, daddy's not there, well, government will take care of me because I'll just spend it all now and I'll have nothing in retirement. But that's okay because, I have a lot of clients in California, so I'm not attacking them. But California, what a beautiful state. Mm-hmm. What a beautiful state. But financially, what a wreck. You couldn't pay me enough to live there as a primary residence, because the amount of wealth that they are stealing from their residents is unreal. Mm. It's that their politics are just, and I'm not talking left, right. I just mean from a fiscal financial responsibility side, absolutely mm-hmm. crazy. Go look at LA and San Francisco. I mean, it's unreal. Beautiful cities, in my opinion, are just getting destroyed. And now with this whole coronavirus issue, I always hear these cities and these leaders talk about safety first.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's interesting. Safety first. How safe is it? And who knows how bad this coronavirus thing is going to become. It's just a lot of unknowns right now. But people are worried because numbers getting thrown out by the media. We have a government. We have governments throughout the world that it's amazing that we're told one thing, but everyone's suspect of it. Why is that?
I don't know. I would say it's probably rapid, different for every person. There's probably a variety of different reasons, honestly.
Maybe because they're not truthful.
Okay.
It's kind of like when you go to the doctor and say, oh, this isn't going to hurt at all. And they do something like, dude, that really hurt. I was like, well, if we told you it's going to hurt, you wouldn't let us do it.
Right.
But anyway, today's episode, today's topic, it's not going to be smorgasbord number 3. I think today's topic, and it came from my wife. I was just calling her before we started the show, and I just want to say, hey, I just want to say hi. Look forward to seeing you tonight, playing a little tennis with my friends and clients. But I didn't know what I wanted to talk about today. I had some important things I wanted to mention and wasn't sure what I wanted the title to be, but we're just talking, and then all of a sudden she said something, and it reminded me what I tell a lot of clients that I work with one-on-one is that you can be selfless and selfish, and selfish can be selfless, right? So being selfless can be selfish as well, and being selfish can be selfless. And I'll explain the rationale and the meaning behind that. But then this also goes to like a good friend and client. I always learn so much from him when I see him for lunches and we hang out, play tennis. He mentioned to me, I think I was down in Vegas a few years ago, and we're at a conference. And he was telling me about a book. I got to find the title of it. But essentially, it was about how everyone should be selfish. And I heard that. I'm like, really? And you kind of want to fold your arm, you step back a little bit. But it's like, well, Right. Hear me out, or at least hear what the author's theory was, or philosophy or thinking, is that just imagine if everyone in the United States was selfless or selfish and became independent and didn't rely upon others to take care of them. Like if you became selfish, that means you're going to probably what? Study, learn, because you know everyone else is selfish. And so no one's going to hold your hand and take care of you.
Right.
I'm like, well, that's a pretty interesting concept.
Mm-hmm.
And now obviously we want to be good people, but at the very nature of he's like, hey, understanding the importance of being independent and being selfish and learning like the financial principles that I teach and other people I admire that teach, if everyone's selfless and realized that we didn't have to depend upon others, how being selfish really is selfless, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, look, just look at what you were mentioning, we've talked about before about, if you're selfish and you know that you got to really focus on learning things, learning money, protecting yourself, making sure you got things set for retirement down the road because you don't have mommy and daddy take care of you, but you also don't have the government to take care of you. And right. You also know that because your kids are going to be selfish too, they're not going to take care of mommy and daddy.
Right?
It's like, hey, sorry. Yeah. Sorry you don't have things to protect you for long-term care and $100,000 plus nursing homes. You know, that's about the average in Nevada. Alaska, that's over 200,000. It's like, sorry you didn't plan for that one. Good luck, because your sons aren't going to deal with that. Now, obviously, parents who are, and I'll tie to selfless, that's like the majority concern for parents. A lot of them that love their children is they do not want to be a burden. They're being selfless on their kids.
That's right.
But yeah, I thought that was a very interesting title, at least concept for a book. And I do want to read it eventually. It's just the very nature is that if everyone was selfish, imagine how powerful that would be for most families and individuals and this nation.
Absolutely.
And actually throughout the world, if they're not under totalitarian socialist rule.
Right.
That if everyone became, really dug in and became independent, how much more financial independence and financial freedom and just freedom would we all have? Usually when we ask for a government to start babysitting us and taking care of us, and just like with parents, we lose a lot of freedoms, don't we?
Yep.
So, so I thought that was a very fascinating concept is that by being selfish, really in many ways creates it's selfless because everyone's better off.
Yeah, absolutely.
In many ways. Now, what I like talking about and what I love, I just have always gotten excited by it. I've always enjoyed, well before I got in this financial industry, I love seeing my bosses when I was engineering full-time. I worked at a telephone company. I so admired the CEO at that time, Ed Whitaker. Mm-hmm. I just thought, you know, my gosh, man, the way these people on the board of the telephone company, which at the time it was SBC, just everyone was just really sharp people throughout. I mean, also, you see a lot of funny things with the telephone company too, but it's just, I always enjoyed vicariously seeing, I mean, the amount of income those people at that level make compared to what I made as an outside plant design manager, I mean, was huge, right? The gap. Because you hear all these politicians right. saying, oh, the, you know, it's just not fair, this income gap, this disparity between incomes. I'm like, who the heck are you, politicians? What do you guys know? I had no envy, no anything. I was grateful as hell that people who at those positions, you know, I earned a position to go work for that company.
Absolutely.
I think there's some companies out there now don't, you know, really, some of these boards I think really are filled with sacks of crap in many ways. But
sure.
But I was so grateful to be a part of such a phenomenal company at that time and surrounded by good employees. And you know, there's always bad employees here and there too. But I didn't have any envy that someone's making $400,000 a month and I was making whatever it was, $40,000 or $50,000 a year at that time. Mm-hmm. I was so grateful. Right. I mean, hey, down the road, maybe I'll be there too.
Exactly.
And thank God that I've been able to give this position to get such a phenomenal education and get paid to do it. Mm-hmm. Right. So, right. Anyway, I've always like and seeing the trips and the stuff and everyone, all my friends, people around me, my peers, anytime people went on a trip and did stuff, I just enjoy. I always didn't have this thing that some people have with jealousy. I just always enjoyed seeing it. There was no jealousy. Right, right? Now it seems like right. half the nation, you go do something fun and they're jealous about it. Oh, yeah, it's weird.
I agree. Yeah.
But what I find with the selfless thing is that when I'm teaching clients I'm working with, I said, so, you know, what's so freaking awesome is that you really, everything you're learning, the people around you that you look up to, the people that you admire, the people that are your friends, right? You are going to want them to learn what you're learning now too.
Sure.
And the reason for that is that just from a selfless standpoint, don't you want all your good friends and people you looked up to and your siblings, et cetera, just don't you want the best for them anyway?
Of course. Yeah.
I mean, once you understand how to handle money, more money solves more problems when it's used right. correctly. Now, more money to the government, that doesn't seem to solve too much, unfortunately. and people don't know how to handle it. I mean, my gosh, I mean, you see how people inherit money. You know, there's, you know, I have a powerful story I share with people. Just, you know, this one son inherited over $30 million. No one in my book of business or clients that I represent, but it's just a story of someone in Southern Nevada, how the father passed away, his child inherited $30 million, early 30s, and 1 year it's gone.
Oh my gosh, 1 year.
Happens all the time. Look at all the lottery stories, right?
Goodness.
And it's like, so having more money, if you don't have the discipline and education of how to handle it, it'll soon be lost.
Right.
And, but when you teach people the just fundamental principles of money and you can see your friends and family and all these people around you, they start doing really well too with you.
Mm-hmm.
You want to share what you're learning with the world. That's why I do this every day. Now I tell my clients, don't try to teach everything that I'm teaching you guys. It took me a long time to send them to me and I'll right. do it. Because boy, have I taught people the wrong communication skills, is a big deal, right? And my gosh, it's like when I first got in this industry, there are certain people just look at me like I was speaking in tongues. Well, look at the math. It's right there. Look at the math. You know, it's like, well, and now being able to break things down and show things from a conceptual level and then breaking down to very nitty gritty numbers, it's allowed me to help a lot more than just engineers and accountants, right? From that standpoint. I would probably bore you to death, Tammy, if you're sitting down.
Oh my gosh.
Especially if you met me 8 years ago. You'd be like, what the hell? I don't understand one thing you just said. How the hell are you going to help me? But anyway, that's a tangent. My point was, I was like, hey, when we start creating a lot more wealth for you and a lot more use of your money today and creating a way wealthier tomorrow, and you're starting to be able to do a lot of the things on your wish list, your financial wish list, priorities and dreams are coming to fruition, and you want to start going mm-hmm. all these vacations and do stuff, you're going to want to share those experiences with friends and family.
Absolutely.
And the problem with that, and I've experienced this a lot of my life, is that a lot of friends are broke. So you've done all this stuff, then you want to go on this trip and you want your friends to be able to go do it, and they're too busy at their job, or they don't have enough. Oh, I don't have the money. But right. a year later, you want to do another. Oh, I don't have any money. So
right.
the selfless part actually can become selfish in the fact that if you take your tight circle of friends, and maybe if you got friends aren't the right mindset, maybe you should find new ones. Because right. I don't think it's called the crab phenomenon. I think I might have mentioned it before on a previous episode, or I brought up and never explained it. But you got to be really careful who's your friends, right? Mm-hmm. Who are your mm-hmm. friends? And the easiest way to keep crabbing when I was a kid in Chesapeake Bay, you catch one crab, throw in the pot, you know, they can get out. Mm-hmm. So the easiest way to keep a crab in is catch another crab, throw them together, and one mm-hmm. tries to get out, the other one always pulls it back down.
It's amazing.
The crab
it's
phenomenon, so man. Bunch of selfish yeah. creatures, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, so you do want to be careful who's your select club on that area, right? Mm-hmm. You really want right. to be careful. You got the ones that want to elevate you, and then unfortunately there's some you find out aren't such good friends that want to tear you down. And, yeah. But you know, from a selfless standpoint, you want to have all your friends experience those trips with you. What a blast.
Mm-hmm.
But if they don't have Absolutely. Any money, that means then you're paying for them.
Right.
And I've gone through that in the past where I just want people to go, you know, certain people that just really want to be part of the experience. So I just paid for it. So,
right.
But from a selfish standpoint is if you can get your whole family and your friends, wealthy with you, and embracing good concepts and maybe become from a mentorship. I mean, one of my clients, I'm really impressed. I've been working with him and his wife for over a year now. And it's very, he really wants to see his friends be incredibly successful too.
Nice.
And so I really admire that. And, you know, to one point, it's like, hey, I get a text message about a month or so ago. It's like, did so-and-so call you? And he's all, no, not yet. He's all, damn it, he's calling you in a minute. So, and sure enough, within 30 seconds, my phone is ringing.
Wow.
And because he has such, obviously, he cares a lot for his friend, and he right. wants his friend to be doing just as well as him.
And he's influential, apparently.
And he cares. That's the big thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, how many of us are, I doubt you are, Tammy, because you're so bold. But, you know, sometimes a lot of people are afraid to ask people to do things, you know?
For sure. Yeah.
And so, but that takes a lot of courage. It takes a lot of care, love, to push your friends to do stuff. Even if right. they kick back on you, just keep pushing.
Right.
And so, but anyway, that selflessness can also be quite selfish because guess what? When all your friends that you really enjoy being around that are a blast, that maybe didn't have the financial responsibility yet, it's just because they didn't have the right tools and training, the environment. Usually that's what it is. Right. Say it over and over again. A test is easy once you know the answers.
Yeah.
And the selfish part is you get all your friends making just as much money, saving just as much money, implementing investment strategies as you, and if not more, actually doing even better than you. That's pretty selfish because guess what? You don't have to pay for their trips anymore.
Right.
And if you really motivate them and they actually surpass you, even better. Maybe right. they'll pay for your trip.
Right.
So that's kind of the whole thing on, hey, by the very nature of being selfless, you can be selfish.
Yep. I like it.
So that's my fun thing. It's my humor of the day. It's something I share with people quite often. Kind of like when I talk about the Bankosaurus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what I love working with families and I sit down and I see that they have some form of life insurance in place.
Mm-hmm.
What do I immediately know about that family?
My guess is they care about their future.
If it's term insurance, for example, term, I don't even know if I've ever done a kind of elementary discussion on the difference between term and permanent. I'll have to go back and look at some archives. Maybe I'll talk about on a future episode. But when I just see someone who has like group life or a term insurance policy that will expire at some point in time, it's kind of like auto insurance, term insurance. They're paying a premium and you hope you never have a claim, right? But you're doing it because you're selfless. When I see families or individuals come in, I see that they have life insurance or a death benefit. Mm-hmm. I immediately know that they love someone more than they love themselves. It's selfless because why pay $800, $1,000, $2,000, whatever, $7,000 a year? It just depends on the scenario and the family and the age and health. Why pay that kind of money if you're shelling out $1,000 a year for $800 or $1 million or $2 million or whatever, pick a number, $2 million death benefit. Why would someone do that? They're dead. If it pays out, it's because they care about their family. And so what I always joke about with a well-designed whole life insurance policy, and it really is, it's all about, well, there's a lot of things go into it, but design's so important, is that you have the ability, and this is where the topic came from, is that you have the ability to be incredibly selfless by creating a very powerful death benefit to protect your family, people you love and care for.
Right.
Heaven forbid something happens to me, I will be gone. Right? Something happens to me, I'm gone.
Right.
But at least he's not all of a sudden in a financial situation. At least that part is taken care of. And he's got this wonderful family to raise him because those things have been put in place with the will and trust.
Right.
Which people new to trust, go listen to previous episodes where I talk about every family needs a trust.
Right.
But that's I just know immediately there's selflessness there when I see a huge death benefit on a policy, a term policy that will expire. And but what I like about the Bankosaurus is that when designed correctly, not only can be selfless to take care of the family that you love or heirs or some form of beneficiary or a charity that you want to leave money to, but you can also be very selfish because you do it right. The amount of money that grows income tax free is unreal. And so guess what? You know, you can go out and buy the toy you've always wanted.
Right.
And not be in financial servitude to the banking industry or the financial industry. You can go out and buy this. You can go out and buy that. You can go out and experience these trips today instead of waiting till retirement or at 59 and a half, you know, with these brilliant IRAs and 401ks. So it's like, hey, you can be selfless and selfish at the same time. It's awesome.
Yeah.
What do you want to say, Tammy? I'm sure you got some pearls of wisdom to share with everyone.
The selfish, to be selfless, when you first brought it up to me, I instantly thought of the airplane analogy, you know, how they say to put your air mask on yourself first. I'll never forget the first time I heard that. I was shocked, like, because they use an example of an adult and a child. I'm thinking, what? Why wouldn't you put it on the child first? But this, I think, is another extension of what you're talking about. You care so much about someone else that you're taking care of yourself first.
Well, you have to, because if you don't take care of, it's almost trite, because I use that analogy all the time, like when oxygen loses, you have to, you as the rescuer, you know, I lifeguarded up at Tahoe, you know, when I was getting my electrical engineering degree. It was a great summer job.
Yeah.
It was great. You get paid to get in shape.
Sure.
It's always funny because right around that time, so I was training like twice a day, like lifting weights and then also swimming and out on the boards and all that. But yeah, we were always taught as a rescuer, you have to protect yourself first, because when you're going out to rescue someone, you get injured or something happens, you can't save the other person.
Right.
You know, if the oxygen is going away and that child is dependent upon you, well, what good, if you get the oxygen on them, maybe, then what? Are they going to go reach that mask put on you? It's not going to happen. So you have to, and it's also like these families that really want to provide a higher education or college, you know, college or some form of higher education for the children. It's like, oh, I want to put all this money into a 529. Well, yeah, but we got to take care of your financial situation first before we can do that, because you sure as hell don't want your kids supporting you while they're in college.
Right.
You definitely don't want to strip away their wealth while you're in retirement because you didn't put your stuff I mean, you look at the opportunity costs, and it's amazing to me how the majority of the typical financial advisor in this industry, I was like, oh yeah, we'll do 529s, we'll do this. And it's like, well, wait a minute, all that wealth that that mom and dad, those parents had to put in place for them, that opportunity cost that they lost down on what that wealth would have created retirement just went into college funding. So they just hosed themselves for retirement.
Mm-hmm, right.
And so now the kids are like, in a way, resentful in their 30s, 40s, because mom and dad don't have any money in retirement. And now they're spending all this time taking care of mom.
Right.
Or yep. Even worse, typically it always lays on, it looks like with the data, typically it's the wife that's taking care of stepmom. Mm,
interesting.
Boy, is that a great relationship. Right?
Hopefully.
I mean, that can create a lot of resentment, really.
Absolutely.
Any other goodies that stood out to you?
Well, something that I know is important to you is to elevate others.
Big time.
And so when it comes to stuff like this, you know, thinking of how you can elevate others with something like a Bankosaurus can be super motivating. And you've talked before about how saving and budgeting is just not that sexy of a concept. And typically that's the hardest thing that people have to discipline themselves to do. And yet when they do, if they think about how they can use it to elevate others, it all of a sudden becomes extremely sexy and engaging to think of using that discipline, using the rigors of budgeting and saving to elevate others, what you can do with that money and what others can do with
it. One thing you just remind me about, I forgot to mention that I was so happy. So you missed out on this, Tammy. But you can listen to the episode, the previous episode, you got to listen to it. I finally had Jesse Meekum, one of the co-founders of YNAB, You Need a Budget, on.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So I interviewed him.
That's been your goal for so
well,
long.
Well, I want him to come on. And so, it's amazing how you just ask, right? And yep. So I'm so fascinated with what they've accomplished with that company. And I've been using their budgeting software for years now. And I've watched how they're always trying to sharpen the saw, always trying to improve, which, you know, is really big to me. We talk about Kaizen.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And he didn't use that word in the interview, but what I so enjoyed, boy, did he say, my favorite part was probably right around like this episode, 40 minutes, 30 minutes into it, where he was talking about budgeting between husband and wife. That's a big, big topic. And can be a real struggle. But boy, when families get that nailed down, with husband and wives get that nailed down, boy, are they 300. You know, 1 + 1 = 3, they're 3 times more productive. And so how he addressed that and just the whole company model, I was so happy to have him come on because I really love their software. I love their trainers. I love all the stuff they do to elevate others. And it's like, you know, I was joking about how I've tried forever to not say budget. You say budget and people run. You know, not everyone, but a lot do. And you say you hear budget, you know, you hear diet or to do without. But the reality is with a little bit of discipline comes a world of freedom. Mm-hmm. And he just flat out says, you need a budget, YNAB. And it started with a simple spreadsheet. You know, he's talking about how it started. He just had a little spreadsheet, what he used to get by when he didn't have much money. And then they started selling the software and then hooked up with the great guys. I guess I think I understood correctly, a programming background. And now it's developed to what it is today. Yeah, it's the whole topic is selfless and selfish, how those really can be intertwined. And so I just find it humorous and fun. And just the very nature of being selfless can be selfish. And the very nature of being selfish, you can be selfless. So it's just kind of fun. That was my little fun thing on words.
Yep. I like it. Good paradigm shift.
Any other topics, Miss Tammy B?
No, I think that's a great topic for finances because I think typically people get wrapped up enough into it that they end up, either they think they're being selfish or they're, you know, worried about it, fearful about it, whatever. And so the thought of being selfish to be selfless, it's hard to say that.
It is hard.
Is powerful.
I probably mismatched the words throughout, I'm sure, right? Throughout the
episode. But that was kind of your point, actually.
Yeah. Maybe, right?
Yeah.
It could have been clever, huh?
Yeah. Let's just say you were doing it on purpose.
I would say that one thing is like with elevating others, which is really fun. I mean, my dream for everyone, like listening to the show, working with my clients, is that selflessness is that I want to see them create so much more income and more and more wealth than I have. Mm. I want to teach them as much. I want them to know more about money and finances than me. Hmm. Now, with that said, I'm incredibly competitive in a good way, because when I see people that I admire what they're accomplishing, it's like, gosh, man, he got that other book done. He's already put this into place. I, as a client doing this, super stoked. And I love lifelong relationships, but I want people I work with, I want them empowered to have that financial education, know more about finances after our third or fourth meeting. The majority of our quote unquote teachers and financial advisors in the industry.
Right.
So that heaven forbid something happened to me, they're independent and they're going to make big boy and big girl choices, and they're not going to be, I'm teaching them to fish.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Not handing it to them, and they're not dependent upon me, and they're going to make smart financial choices for the rest of their lives. Now, with that said, I love lifelong relationships and I always want to be able to be there as a mentor. But every client I work with, as much as I teach on what I teach on, I always learn so much from my clients in a variety of different industries that they're in. Mm-hmm. And it's really a fun relationship. But yeah, selflessly, I guess selfishly, I get so much joy in seeing the successes of the clients I work with. And then tying back to Jesse Meacham, what he was talking about, which I love, is that all they do is help people with their budget. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about these other free platforms out there. I says, yeah, it's free, but they're there to sell something. So all that data they're getting, in a way, he didn't say it this way, they're going to use to get at your money.
Right.
It's kind of my conclusion. And what they're doing is that it's the same thing. And I love how like attracts like. They absolutely love seeing the differences they're making, helping clients and trying to make budgeting as fun and effortless as possible. They enjoy it. They really enjoy seeing those successes.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
It's not about the income for them, for their company. It's about that joy. And it's the same thing as my company grows and grows, and the more families I get to help, East Coast to West Coast, is that, yeah, obviously my company is growing substantially, but the real joy is getting to see all these different families, seeing how much more their finances have improved, independent of any type of financial product out there, just understanding sound financial concepts that existed forever. It just had been forgotten by the industry, and how they've implemented their life and how they're playing the game differently. And the changes are so quick. It's usually within months. Mm. Is that awesome?
Yeah.
And selfishly, when my clients make so much more money, I get to go do fun, free things with them because they pay for me. It's really fun. I work for food. They take me out to lunch. You know, I get invited to fun stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's pretty cool. So the selflessness becomes selfish. Mm. So what would you like to say, Tammy, to wrap everything up?
Well, it's just interesting that you brought up another company and how they're being very selfless in wanting their clients to do better. And I hear that in you all the time. I remember you talking about a gentleman who had followed your guidance and done well, and I can't remember what kind of an automobile, like a spider or something really cool. And consequently, it made you feel really good. Not like what you were saying earlier. You weren't jealous at all. You were so gratified. In fact, it's like it elevates you when you're able to elevate others. That's how you feel about it. And it's just pretty cool. So for those of you listening, I mean, come on. How could you want anyone else to help you with your finances than someone who just genuinely wants to see other people succeed and do well? And oh my gosh, I know so many stories. I don't know how long I've known you, Ken, but I know so many stories when Ken has selflessly given of his knowledge and people have been able to save money consequently, and he hasn't earned a dime from it. And sometimes, let's face it, people may not even be as grateful as they should be. So, but that's not what he's after. He's about elevating others, helping other people succeed. And he's just a phenomenal dude to have in your corner. So I highly recommend, if you have some intrigue in this area, that you reach out to him and at least have a conversation with him.
Yeah, great way to start. Thank you, Tammy. Thank you. A great way to start to learn more about different concepts is just go to my website, engineerofinance.com.
Awesome.
All right. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Tammy. And I look forward to the next show.
Thank you for listening to the Engineer of Finance podcast with Ken Green.